Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals. This week's scripture was provided by Tony Financial Services, and it's Galatians 6:9, which says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up." And I want to encourage us not to give up on our spouse, not to give up on our kids, not to give up on our friends. Trust that God is going to eventually change their lives.
Keep pursuing. Keep pursuing, yeah. No doubt. And Tony Financial Services is a trusted wealth management firm, and they specialize in biblical financial principles and biblically responsible investing. So this is a big deal. When you're a member of the Kingdom Advisory Network, like, you have to go through all these steps to make sure that you'll do all the right things. I trust James Tony. I've known him since high school. And if you do want some advice, he is definitely a guy to seek.
Yeah, and it's great working with someone who applies faith-based stewardship. Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with David.
Did you just
Pollock
go like announcer
Pastor
voice
Jay
right there?
That's my radio voice.
Okay, well, keep going, radio voice, man.
In today's episode, we're diving into the sanctity of marriage and being committed for the long haul.
And it's going to be dandy.
Are we talking now?
Yeah. So we're going to let y'all in on this a little bit. We don't talk before the show, but it kills Pastor Jay. So we've literally been sitting here waiting for the setup, the cameras, we're clearing some memory cards, and then me and Wes are talking, and Pastor Jay is talking as well. He just talks to himself the whole time. Like, just, I mean, is that a normal, like, you do that every day?
Yeah, every day I carry on a conversation with myself all day long.
Like, answer yourself? I mean, dude.
I don't know the specifics of it. I guess you could call it, I'm praying all the time, but I'm also talking to myself.
Well, you weren't praying. You were just sitting there talking and like saying something. We're like, Pastor Jay, we're not talking. Because if we talk beforehand, it's never as good on air. So we try to save the catching up for.
Yeah, let's catch up. I didn't know I was talking out loud, but I guess I was.
You absolutely were.
What I was saying is I'm exhausted because Jennifer and I just got in from California last night about 1 a.m. to the house. And I was on California time because I was out there for a while.
30th anniversary?
30th anniversary.
Where'd we go?
We went to La Jolla. You ever been to La Jolla?
I don't think so.
It's San Diego.
Okay. I've been to San Diego.
In between San Diego and Carlsbad. So you get the La Jolla and La Jolla Cove. And then we were staying at La Jolla Shores. And then next to that, you have Torrey Pines.
Okay. I've heard of that. That's a golf course, right?
So that's a golf course.
Did you play there?
Yeah. I did not play. I tried to play. But apparently you have to book a tee time 90 days in advance. Okay. And I was not that planned ahead.
So how long did we have this plan in advance?
I don't know. It's been a minute, but I didn't know.
So you had 90 days. You could have planned it.
I had 90 days, but I didn't know.
But the missus doesn't play golf anyway, so then you would just play by yourself.
No, but yeah, she would have ridden with me. I mean, she would have. So speaking of Torrey Pines, I got you a little gift.
Again?
Yeah, because I'm nice like that.
That's what you do. You just give. Why are you always giving gifts, man? Golly.
It's more, Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Yeah, so I got Torrey Pines Golf Tower.
Oh, red and black for the bag?
I got you red and black for the Georgia.
My man.
For the Georgia Bulldogs.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You couldn't spring for one of those pullovers you got on, huh?
No, I just got you a golf tower.
If you'd have bought me one of those, I'd have been mad. This is perfect. This is great. I love this, too, because when we went to Pebble, I got the putter cover. And like, I just think you can actually put on your bag and it sticks out and you remember it. I like it better than getting a piece of swag from something. I like this in the putter cover, the driver cover, whatever. So
that's yeah, dope. I was labored. I don't know if you're like this or people listening are like this, but you know, I was going to buy one thing from Torrey Pines, and I was just laboring like what to buy. Like yeah, so like I dropped Jennifer off at she liked doing this Torrey Pines State Park hike and. Of course, bird watching. We'll get into that. So I dropped her off to do the hike, and I just went to the pro shop. I said, and I'll because she gets frustrated with me because I can't. It's like I have order regret. Like I can't decide what I'm going
to
buy.
Can't pull the trigger. I can relate to that. There's so many cool things in those gift shops, though.
Oh, like, yeah.
The like, towels, the ball markers, like the driver, the covers, like the shirts, the pullovers, like it. There's a lot going on there.
I could have spent all day in there. Yeah. But Jennifer and I, we love La Jolla. If you've never been in La Jolla, I would encourage people to go there. It's this most beautiful place in the world because you're in the mountains, but you're on the coast. And so,
can you say it's the most beautiful place in the world?
It's one of the most beautiful.
Okay, let's say one of the most. You can't say it's the most beautiful place.
No, probably not. I mean, Banff is incredible. Have you been to Banff?
Never been to Banff.
So. The Canadian Rockies. That's incredible. Cape Town, South Africa was gorgeous. We've been to a few places. So yeah, 30th wedding anniversary. So we were celebrating.
So you were smart.
That.
You celebrated it. You got away.
Yeah, and so we went to. I need to tell you about the Peregrine Falcon.
Whatever you're saying is not it, I promise. No, I mean, it doesn't matter.
It's Peregrine Falcons, the fastest animal in the world, 242 miles an hour. So we go on this hike. Jennifer likes to go on hikes. We like to go on hikes together. We do a lot of walking. But anyway, we stumbled upon this Torrey Pines State Park. We're walking. We do this mountain hike, and then you come back along the coast. You come back on the beach. And we see all these photographers with these huge cameras.
Okay.
So Jennifer's intrigued, like, what are you taking
pictures
of? I'm
getting in this.
Well, she meets this lady who ends up being a bird watcher, a fellow birder.
Oh, jeez.
And so we find out that
did you fall asleep when they were talking?
The peregrine, well, I walked away. I kind of walked away. The peregrine falcon, and they had just hatched baby falcons. And so they were all going nuts, and so anyway, Jennifer got into that, and so four different days she went on hikes there. Of course, one I was at Torrey Pines.
Thank goodness.
But yeah, she went and found some more photographers, and one of the guys asked her, "Are you a birder?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm a birder." A birder. Have you ever heard of that?
That's the correct way to say it.
Yeah, like a bird watcher. A birder. Are you a birder?
Okay.
So we've got all kind of videos of the peregrine falcon. I'm saying it right now. But yeah, we had a big time out there in San Diego. Did y'all do anything for your anniversary? You just had 20th.
I let her stay with me another year. I told her I wouldn't kick her to the curb. So yeah, no, we didn't do anything. We actually, I asked her, she said she would like to celebrate next year, like go to somewhere tropical or something like that. Mm-hmm. Just obviously with what she's been through.
Yeah.
So last night we had dinner. We told the kids to kick rocks and we went in the bedroom and watched a movie. So like we kind of just got to hang out
is
together.
Is that like code for something?
No, that was after the movie. But, hey, now. But that was good. We got to hang out a little bit for sure. But I think it's good. This will go good with our topic though. I mean, this is, you know, part of, I think, a successful marriage and keeping that flame going and keeping the connection with your spouse is being able to get away some. And it doesn't have to be fancy. I mean, we literally just did it in the bedroom. We've done it. We've gone into hotels in Atlanta before, you know, just to get away. And because, you know, when you have kids and they're getting older, a lot of times you need some peace and quiet and you just need some way to get away. But I think to connect with your spouse and.
I'm just laughing at you.
Why?
You said we just did it in the bedroom.
Come on, man. You gotta be the adult in this room because I am not. Okay, so somebody's got to be mature.
Well, I think it'd be good for everybody. How's Lindsay doing? Little Lindsay update.
Doing great
since we talked.
No, she's doing great. She's pushing herself more and more. Is there frustrations? Of course. I mean, she's still frustrated in what she can't do a lot of times, but very, very, very thankful for what she can do. You know, like, I mean, she's in the weight room doing lunges and she's dying, you know, and she used to do them with weights and it just used to be easy. And so I think, you know, that part of it. And then, I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, you want your body to look better or be better and do things more. And I mean, you couldn't do anything for 8 weeks, you know, like it was just, all we could do was a slow walk. And so I think just progressing along, doing well, she started her new treatment, which is, you know, that's been the prayer now is like that. Cause the biggest thing is checking her liver levels. It's really hard to say, by the way. So she's on this new drug. And if the liver can accept it, then it's really good. It's the best drug that you can take. It's not chemo. It's a form of oral chemo, but it's not without the side effects and the bad stuff. And so right now it's been great. She's been on it for probably a week. And so if we can keep it on, and you know, the side effects are, there's a bunch of them with, you know, muscle fatigue and vomiting and diarrhea and you know, all these different things, but they've stayed away pretty well.
Okay.
So that's
and y'all got a good update when you went to Duke.
Yeah, great update. I mean, you could see the MRI and you could see the image and you could see like the whole, like an empty spot where there was a full spot with a tumor. And it's crazy, you know, just it sucked it out, right? Like, and it got it out. And so now it's just keeping on.
Yeah. Well, I know thousands of people have been praying. Of course, we just had the Pollock family golf tournament. Huge success.
Actually pulled it off somehow, yeah. Some way.
I mean, I don't see how Lindsay did, how she did it.
I don't think she does either. I mean, you know, it was really cool because we've had so many people now that have volunteered for so many years, mm-hmm. and you really have a good system. You know, this was year 9. So, you know, we have our team that has, you know, we had 7 side by side sitting out there waiting. And as soon as a vendor came up, like you got in a side by side, you got pulled to your hole to set up your tee box, to set up all your stuff and then drive back. And like, so having those systems and then all the girls mm-hmm. that do the different stations when you come in, it was not as smooth as it's been in the past for sure. But I don't know how many people would notice that, you know, like, you know, we,
I think it was a huge success. I noticed,
it was.
I noticed at the end, when you thank Lindsay for pulling it off, there was like a huge ovation.
Huge
for
her. Ovation.
I think
for
people
her.
Were just excited that she's doing so well.
You know, that's one of the cool things I've seen with, and it is like when you're praying for someone and they're really in your thoughts and your prayers and in front of mind, I think consciously a lot. I think it's fun to watch, like when people see her, because like the genuine reaction is just joy, like. We saw my friend's wife at the Mexican restaurant, and she walks by and like she didn't see Lindsay right away, and then she saw me, and then she saw Lindsay, and she, like just the look of joy, like mm-hmm. It was it's like, come give me a hug, you know, like give me a big hug. And so it's really been fun to see like all the people that have cared and loved on her. And we went to this was an awesome story. We went to a restaurant, Flying Biscuit. My favorite restaurant, the best breakfast spot ever recorded, that's ever lived. They go back to your way you started.
Let me take some notes.
Flying
on that.
Biscuit is all the right. best ever. So this has never happened before, and this was the coolest thing ever. We were eating breakfast there yesterday morning for our anniversary, and they brought the check. And when they brought the check, it was like, your meal's been taken care of. And obviously, as a Georgia football player, that's happened before. Illegally at times and legally at times.
It's not illegal anymore.
Nah, we're past the statute of limitations. But like, so it says, they said, we took care of your meal and we've been praying for you at the Flying Biscuit. But they took care of Lindsay's meal. Like,
that's awesome.
It was really, really cool and awesome. And that's what's been, it's just been rewarding. It's been cool to see people jumping in and praying, and now, and everything's going so well and good. And that's, you know, we're thankful. We're definitely thankful.
I think when you're praying fervently for something, it means so much when you see God answer your prayer.
Yeah.
There's been so many times I'm praying for people and it doesn't go the way that I want it to go. And so when you see it go so well, I think it's just so encouraging. And people love good news. They love positive news.
Yeah.
And so there's so much negative news in the world today. So
I do think the world's getting better, though.
Yeah.
I do like the direction we're heading now with more. I think we've got more positivity than we used to.
Oh,
for a while there, it was
doom
and negative, gloom. Negative, negative all the time. So, yeah, it is fun to watch. And it's fun to be – I tell you what, man, it's been really fun because I have other people going through, you know, different things, and you talk about just your eyes being opened and your ears being opened and just your heart being open to others going through hard things. It's been interesting because you really just want to plug in. You really just want to help because you know what it meant for you. And for people that, and I don't know, I don't think I've said this on the podcast, but like, if you got somebody going through something, you know, the best advice, what I've learned and what I'll do in the future is it's not about the words as much as it is about the actions. And just like, I know for the future, if somebody of mine's going through something, I'm just going to go there and do. I'm not going to ask, you know, like people that brought us meals, you know, people that came over, and we had people come over and do our laundry and do dishes and, you know, grocery shop for us. And like, those are the things, man, that like, I would recommend everybody that's what I'm not going to ask because you never really know what to say, but just plugging in and when people are going through struggle and just letting them know you care and showing up, like you talked about with Jeff a long time ago with his stuff. And it's big time. It's cool. So
that's a good idea because I think you're so tentative about it because you don't
know what to do.
You don't know what to do. But I think if God impresses it upon your heart to do something,
just do it.
Then just do it. Yeah. Whatever it is, you know, it's bringing a meal, making a phone call.
But it's hard because you want to respect their time and you don't want to invade or intrude. But I think you just do. Like and again, if I could give advice, it's not the gifts. It's not the, like the gifts are awesome and thankful, but it's when you come over and do the important stuff, like when you take care of the stuff that needs to be taken care of, that a lot of times, and I think I shared this, but like I had a buddy that texted me, he's like, hey, I just want to do a laundry service for you. Like where they come pick it up, do your laundry, like, you know, don't ask, you know, just do it. Yeah. And I think it'll be appreciated, no doubt, 100%, because it just... Because of that, man, it really allows you to focus on the things that are really, really important. And like bringing joy to Lindsay's life was important to me. Like that's my main goal. Like I'm trying to bring joy every day. When I walk in a room, I'm like, I'm going to make sure she knows she's loved and like trying to make the best of the day and happy and as much as possible. And you can do that a lot easier when people have helped you out, man, like and done some of the stuff that's hard and monotonous and tedious. And so that would be definitely... You know, my advice from going through this and learning is just jump in and do. And I promise it'll be food is never going to go bad. Yeah. You know, like deeds around the house is never going to go bad. Those are good things that's appreciated.
Yeah. Jennifer has been accused in years past of pushing yourselves into people's lives. And the person who said it was kind of saying it in a negative tone. And Jennifer took it kind of negatively at first, but then she's kind of embraced it like, no, that's what I do.
Yeah,
I see a need and I
try to go meet it.
I try to meet that need. And she does push herself into people's lives and makes a huge difference.
And listen, are you going to have people that say that sometimes? Of course. But I can just tell you as somebody that's been, when you're going through real hard stuff and real struggle, there's no part about that that's going to be taken negative. They came over and did whatever needed to be done. Like that's not negative. Now, some people can get their feelings hurt because they didn't do it. Or you shouldn't have been so pushy, but the people that are getting blessed and helped, nah, bro. Like, yeah. Come on over. Yeah.
No one's like moving in. They're like,
no, let's not get crazy. I'm not getting a bird watching app and hummingbird feeders and stuff like that. Come on, Jennifer.
Well, I thought there's so many positive things going on. I don't know if I shared on the podcast or not, but Jolyn's engaged.
Oh yeah, we have not shared on the pod.
I have not.
We shared at church.
Okay, yeah. So Nadine is. His fiance.
That happened fast. We've been talking about him trying to, and Jolyn's his son. So, I mean, just making sure everybody knows. I mean, everybody listening doesn't know that, but his son's getting married, and we were worried about him for a long time. We were worried if he was ever going to find anybody. So, it happened fast, though, man.
They've been dating over a year, so it's kind of been low.
Oh, never mind. Over a year. It's just a long time.
Low key stuff. So, yeah, lots of exciting things happening. So he's getting married November 7th. Y'all just celebrated 20 years. We just celebrated 30 years. And so I thought we could be some good teaching on the podcast just to talk about marriage.
I think so, too.
The sanctity of marriage, the covenant of marriage. What's it going to take to thrive? Like, when I was texting you and Wes, our producer, some thoughts for today, my first thought was marriage for the long haul. But then my thought was, well, that doesn't sound positive. That's like we're enduring for the long haul. Like how to
running
have
a marathon?
Like we're thriving. Like how do you thrive in marriage? I mean, 30 years is a long time. 20 years is a long time in today's standards. I'm excited for the next 30. You know, like in my mind, it's been a good 30 years, but the next 30 years is going to be even better. So I thought it would be important for us to talk about the sanctity of marriage, the covenant of marriage, the covenant. It's a covenant with God between one man and one woman for life. What are some things you think add to help you guys have a long marriage, a successful marriage, a thriving marriage?
Well, and I think for this conversation to be successful, we got to use examples, and we've got to talk about our marriages, and we got to talk about our failures, and I think, which is really important, stories. Like, I think, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are struggling in marriage. Like, they're not doing it, and they're doing it in a way that's not bringing fulfillment. It's not fun. It's a struggle. It's hard. And so I think, in perfect example, and then this is real life. Like, this is a real life example that I've talked to a buddy, a friend of mine that they're going through a certain circumstance. And I think this is the best way to help people and to teach is to by use examples. But so his wife and him are not on the same page spiritually. Okay. So I'm going to tell you the circumstance, and I'm going to ask you, you know, questions about it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really growing. Like he's going to the next level. He's reading. His quiet time is important. His kids are in church. His family's in church. Like him and his wife are not all on board, and they're not rowing in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to get her to get on board more. And there's push and pull. And I think there's a backdrop too of just like with all of us, we all have a story, and we all have been, you know, raised in something, you know, influenced by something. We don't come into this world neutral. Like, nobody comes into this world, like, you don't grow up neutral on issues. You grow up with biases, right? You grow up with worldviews, and you're influenced by the people that you're around.
Sure.
And some of that can be in bad situations, right? Like, you can go to a church that doesn't love unconditionally, that doesn't support things, that people are doing the wrong things, that have given you the wrong impression of what a Christian looks like. And so it's not all uniform. It's not all the same. You can't enter a marriage and assume that that person's viewpoints are the same as yours. Like, you might both be believers, but your background and what you grew up in might be different than your spouse's. And I think getting on the same page and communication being on the same page, especially when you enter a marriage, is huge. Like, it's a great starting point to understand that. But, you know, back to the story is, okay, she doesn't really want to be a part of going to church every week. He does. They're raising kids together. Their marriage is not thriving. So what does he do? How does he address that? You were writing something down, so I'm gonna give you a second to make sure you could hear me. But like, how does he take that situation now and go have a thriving marriage?
Yeah, that it's interesting, because most of the time it's typically the wife who's pursuing the spiritual things, and the husband's kind of lacking. But I've also seen the opposite, where the husband is the strong one, and the wife's really not there. And I've seen this situation go really good, and I've seen this situation go really bad. It could go one of two ways. I mean, one of my good buddies, been in my discipleship group, led him to Christ, baptized him. His wife ends up divorcing him right after he gets baptized.
Because like, why? She was mad?
Yeah, like she's like, yeah, because he became a Christian and his whole life changed. She wasn't on board with it. She's like, well, that's not what I signed up for. And she ended up pursuing another guy in a whole other situation, and it was
so. When they started to make it like give effort and try, like, what was your advice to him?
I was encouraging him just in his relationship with Christ, his walk with God. He started having a daily quiet time. He got into small group. He got into discipleship group. But she wasn't coming along. you know?
Yeah.
So I'm saying that's fine.
But what do you say? Like, what do you say to him? My situation with this dude, like, what are you telling that person? The person right now that's listening, that's in a marriage, mm-hmm. that they're not equally yoked. What does that look like daily? How do you change that? How do you make a difference? How do you walk through that? Like this is where I think our podcast can really go to the next level mm-hmm. is your discipleship groups and your conversations you've had in the past. Like, let's have them with people so they're listening and they're going, I'm going through that. Like, this is what my mm-hmm. next steps are. This is what I need to do.
Yeah, I would say several things. I think first and foremost, you're modeling for this person what it truly means to have a personal relationship with God. So first and foremost, instead of pushing them to somewhere they're not there yet, you're modeling. So you're walking with God, you're having a quiet time, you're exemplifying Christ-like character, person of integrity, you're growing your relationship with God, you're going to church, making church a priority, praying.
So that's great. So you're modeling it, which is step number one. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to show them it's real. Like, they have to understand, like, it's real. But just because you're modeling it doesn't mean they're going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm on board.
Like, sure, yeah. They're not necessarily picking up what you're putting down.
I think there's going to be, because here's the problem. The problem is you're also going to model it, and then you're going to screw it up because we're all human. And then I think it's going to be like, wait a minute, this is the same person I married. This is the same person that's screwing it up. Like, but I'm trying to show you I'm different. I'm trying to show you I'm doing things that are different. So sometimes modeling it isn't enough.
Yeah, and I do think when you do screw up, being quick to admit your faults, being quick to ask for forgiveness, humility, being the first to say that you're sorry. I think in that situation, there's so much. I don't want to say pressure, but it's like they're watching you. Like, as Christians, people are watching us all the time. Yep. I mean, but if you're married to someone,
you're in the house. You ain't getting away.
I think you're gonna have to.
You're gonna be judged.
Yeah.
They see all. Like, other people don't see all. Like, your spouse gets to see the good, the bad, yeah, and the ugly, yeah, right? Like,
for
they.
Sure.
And I think that's one of the things that when I was talking to my buddy about is, like, you know, he will get tired just like everybody else, and he'll fly off the handle, and then it does way more harm than good. And just trying to get on the same page is. So you started that, which I think is good. Like, there's two things that your spouse can't fight. Like, they can't fight your love. Like, if you love them and you just love on them, and you're always loving, they can't fight that. And they can't fight your prayers. They can't fight those two things. Mm-hmm. So if you pour, and it's not about what you're getting out. That's the problem. We all think we deserve this and we deserve that. Like, we have to try to somehow disassociate that. Like, what I deserve, you deserve death. You don't deserve anything in this world that you, mm-hmm. you've got to go out and love unconditionally. When you took those vows that you were talking about, when you talk about it's in sickness and in health, mm-hmm. it's for better or for
worse.
Yeah. You're the guy that's done all these weddings, right? Like, I mean, like, I think we have a preconceived notion of marriage sometimes, like, I'm supposed to be happy all the time and it's supposed to be easy. No bullcrap. Yeah. It's not going to be easy. Like, I would argue if it's easy, then you really don't care that much. If you just let everything go and it's like, that's not good either. There's a fine line, but they can't fight your love and they can't fight your prayers. So if you can do those two things and start right there, if you're trying to change your spouse or mm-hmm. trying to help them come around, like, it's not about preaching to them, you know? And then I think you can't change them. That's not your job. That's God's job, right? Like, God can work on them if you're praying. So if I'm patient, if I'm humble, and if I'm loving on them, I think I give myself a chance to be successful, a chance mm-hmm. to continue going down the road and showing and showing and showing and doing and doing and doing, and hopefully, you know, a lot more of the good, you know, than the bad.
Yeah, the verse I was thinking of was Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. And I think we for your friend who's in that situation. He's got to commit to the long haul. And he's got to trust in the sovereignty of God that, okay, they weren't both pursuing Christ when they got married, but God changed his life. He's caught fire. His wife hasn't caught up with him yet, but he has to believe in faith that she will. And I have seen the positive side of that happen.
Yeah.
I've seen a wife praying. Her husband wouldn't even come to church, I mean, for years. And now he comes. He serves. He's involved. He's just as committed as she is, and it's just like this incredible miracle. But she never gave up on him.
Yep.
But I think you can't guilt someone, judge someone, beat someone over the head. You've got to let them develop a faith of their own, similar to our kids. But it's modeling. It's loving unconditionally. It's forgiving. It's being patient. And I think, you know, It's gonna take some time.
Yeah. We'll make this a two-parter because we got to wrap it up. So let's just come back and pick this up, because I think there's more people that are dealing with this than we think. And then I think it will help your marriage regardless. Just talking about, you know, tangible ways to connect and ways to love unconditionally, without expectations, without I'm gonna do this because of this, or I'm gonna get this in return. And I think it can bless all of our marriages.